What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 1st, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
First day of March.
Yeah, that's why we had to have you on again. Whitta Thursday. March, from here, henceforth, March 1st will be Gary Whitta Day. No matter what day it falls on, you have to come in and do Kinda Funny Games Daily. I don't care if it's a Sunday.
Even if it's a Sunday? Okay.
Even if it's a Sunday.
If March 1st falls on a Sunday in the future and we're still doing this
alive,
we're still
if
here,
this world's still spinning,
we'll do it. I like right. It heading into spring.
Yeah, we got the rainstorms going on here.
I know it's been bucketing down, hasn't it?
Yeah,
really,
oh yeah,
it was really real heavy bad rain all
yeah.
morning.
Yeah, yeah. Now I've cleared up that.
I always tell people, and I'll happily tell anyone out there in the audience, Gary, if you're interested in ever. People ask me all the time, like, when's a good time to come to San Francisco to visit? And I always say, like, come later in the summer, because we tend to have our summers later, like September, October is when it's warmest. Yeah. I just always say, like, you can never tell. You know, people say, if you don't like the weather in San Francisco, wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just constantly, you know, changing. But avoid, don't come in January, February, unless you really like rain, because that's when we get all our rain.
Yeah. That, well, winter for us is all rain.
Yeah.
And I've tried
much.
To explain it to people where it's like, I think it's just the, and I'm no meteorologist. I explain it to my family. It's like, I think the clouds and the wind and the stuff gets to us, and it's just rain, and then it takes a while as it gets to you to turn to snow and, you know, really screw things up.
I mean, that did sound very scientific.
I think
though. That's
how it is. It's because weather is based on
you
time.
You might be a meteorologist.
It's like,
even
it's like
it.
Brewing beer, right? Like, the clouds need to brew the snow before they get there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think that's scientific. You can look that up, you know?
All right.
But I only know
I've always wondered why it rained in February. Now I have a scientific explanation for it.
There you go. You. Yeah. El Nino. This is involved in some way, shape, or form, I believe.
I'm amazed. You're a polymath, Greg.
Well, you know, I can do a lot of things and I can talk about games because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or you can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. No matter where you're getting the show, you need to be part of it. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, concerns, reader mail, bad PSN names, whatever you want to send in. Send in voucher codes to Wendy's. We don't care. Also, if you're watching live on Twitch, you have a special job. You need to keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I've been off a few days. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Did you enjoy Jerry Petty?
Very much.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. You know, first time hosting everything, but I liked him a lot. He's a cool guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. I worried that, you know, because I tend to be, I feel like he's more PG and I'm more R-rated in my
sure.
approach.
Wow.
So every time I said fuck,
yeah,
I kind of felt like that.
No. Jerry Petty, it's lesser known. He's filthy.
Is he really?
But it's one of those things, like I think on camera he might try to play it up or whatever, that he's not. But he don't, be off camera, oof. Scumbag.
Yeah, he was very much like the Joe Friday and I was the Pep Strebeck.
That's what you got to do. That's how the dynamics work.
Well, yeah, I mean, here, you're the straight man, right? And I'm the, I don't know what, the dope, the mug, whatever you want to call it.
You think
it,
so? Is that guy. How you think that's what our dynamic is?
I don't know. I mean, I've never really, I think it's, this. We shouldn't even be having this conversation. It's not a good idea to...
Let the
think
kids
about
let
it.
The kids
all I know is
okay,
it works.
Okay. We
don't
got something going on, as they say.
Pick,
all right,
don't pick
all
at
right,
it.
Good
just
call.
Let it be what it is.
All right, good call. Housekeeping for you. Party mode is up. It's been up this week. It's Snipper Clips. I'll tell you what. It's underperforming, and I'm glad about that, because it's me being tortured. They made me play Snipper Clips.
So I saw the thing, that's the thumbnail said, Greg hates Snipper Clips.
I hate Snipper Clips.
Why do you hate it? It's a fun game.
Oh, it's just, it's an educational toy. I don't like it.
No, it's like a puzzles game. It's a puzzle solver.
Exactly.
And the puzzles are ingenious.
I could be playing anything else. Monster Hunter.
You don't like it?
No, I'm just, it's a waste of my time, so there I am, angry the entire time. I'm not appreciating all the screen caps people are sending of me, because I'm very grumpy and angry.
As party modes go, it's underperforming.
Yeah, it's a great party mode, so go check it out.
Well, do you think it's also because other people don't find Snipper Clips interesting?
Maybe, but a lot of people apparently like seeing me be tortured, which is why I'm saying
you should go watch it. Because
but I was doing like reverse psychology.
There's hidden value in there that you might not
exactly.
be aware
if
of.
Exactly. Okay. Here's the thing. A lot of people on the internet don't like Greg Miller. Send him this Let's Play. Who wouldn't want to see me tortured? You know what I mean? This is what they've been waiting for.
I'm certainly going to watch it now. You sold it to me. Yeah.
Great. Let me sell you on the PlayStation VR show. A new episode is up. Both. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. They get a week access for just a buck. That one is Surgeon Simulator. It's Nick performing the surgery. So it's something. And then on YouTube right now is Sprint Vector, a PSVR game that Tim refused to do the tutorial for and then put the Kinda Funny World title on the line. So you can go see me become awesome. And even if you don't like that pitch, remember we're both in workout gear and we're sweaty and gross. Also,
who wouldn't want to see that?
Exactly. You know, it's your dreams. You know it. You know, you're the one who keeps knocking on my door asking if I can hook you up with shirtless Spider-Man. Can I bring shirtless Spider-Man by? Can I put in a good word for you with this man that nobody knows who it is?
Tyra Banks was on Twitter just the other day saying that dad bods should be celebrated just as much as, you know, rock hard bods.
Agreed.
Which I fully agree with.
Yeah, yo.
I'm heavily invested in
that. I was
going to
say,
opinion.
We're the dad bod fan club over here. Also, housekeeping, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that another time. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I have three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
But I have a fourth crumb. This is a seed I'm going to plant, and we'll see what it turns into next week, or we won't.
All right.
But right as we were getting ready to go on the air, I saw this tweet from Peter Alexander at NBC News. President Trump is set to meet with video game industry execs next week as part of the ongoing debate over school safety. No word on who these execs are. Maybe it'll be up by the time you get this. Maybe even kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We'll have more information.
Who would be likely candidates for that?
Kotick? Mario.
Mario, Sonic.
Mario and Sonic at the White House. It's
Crash
a new game.
Bandicoot.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Crash Bandicoot with the big megaphone.
Yeah,
there.
He just like smashes into the
I think Bobby Kotick would make
some
sense.
Some rabbits, you know, just to kind of keep it.
Yeah,
it, off
that's
balance.
What's going to be interesting. Are they going to do. Are we going to jump to, you think, the publisher side of it? I don't see. Like Sean Layden being there.
It's
going
to be Andrew
Spencer.
Wilson and Kotick and these kind of guys, right? Because Trump, I imagine, only wants to talk to people that he sees as, you know, on his level.
The
like
business
the
side
top
of it.
Captains of industry. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see whatever comes of that. Again, don't get distracted.
Don't get distracted.
They're not coming for your video
it
games.
It is a distraction.
But let's get to number one. Now, here's the thing I'll tell you right now, Gary Whitta. I'll tell you the headline. Number one news story on the Roper Report. Detroit Become Human is going to launch on May 25th. This is a big deal, of course. PlayStation 4 exclusive. We've been trying to figure this out.
It's the day that the first Star Wars came out. May 25th, 1977.
Really? Okay. You think that's why they picked this one?
No, it's just when you say that.
I hear you. It's like when somebody says October 26th on my PlayStation 2.
Oh, that's your Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I would this originally. I'll tell you. I'll let you behind the curtain here. How the sausage gets made. This originally, of course, was down in new dates. Okay, Detroit has a date. Big news. We like PlayStation a lot. But then 90% of the questions in Kinda Funny KFG, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, were about Detroit Become Human's release date slash the controversy.
So you did some editorializing and made a thing out of it.
Cream rises to the crop. Let's put in the thumbnail. That's what people want. Anyways, Detroit Become Human is officially launching on May 25th. I picked three questions here that surmise everything that's happening.
So you're fusing the reader questions with the news.
Don't I always?
I like the way that you responded to the reader desire, like people clearly wanted to hear us talk about this, and you've provided.
It's
you've met your viewers' needs.
It's like Burger King, where we say have it your way,
right?
But it's not like you can't come into Burger King and ask for a pizza. You know what I mean?
You can ask for a hot dog now.
Are they doing hot dogs?
Yeah, they do hot dogs at Burger King.
I digress. How I Met Your ... wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD about Detroit Become Human's launching and says, "Hey Greg, how do you think the past bad press Quantic Dream had will affect the game's release? David Cage had a statement along with the date announcement about Detroit, so the fact he's speaking shows the due diligence has been done and Sony are happy with the outcome of many investigations. I love you, How I Met Your ... You just threw down the jump to conclusions, Matt, and started jumping all over the place.
I had the same feeling. Does that mean that?
To be clear, on the PlayStation blog, they announced the release date. David Cage put up a giant post about, hey, this is what Detroit Become Human is. You're playing as three androids. We're super excited. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're jumping to conclusions to say, with the data, the fact that he's speaking shows the due diligence has been done and Sony is happy with the outcome of the investigations. I don't know if we should go that far. It shows that they're not shying away from him. They're not saying David Cage isn't the spokesperson for this game anymore. They're just saying, here's a blog post with a release date.
Right.
Back to the How I Met Your
question.
It could
just mean that they hope it's all blown over and they haven't done anything.
They knew it.
Who
they
knows?
Must have known that wasn't going to happen, though. The locker room talk, as Tim said, goes on everywhere, parentheses, which doesn't make it right. So how do you think it will affect sales? Personally, I am very excited about Detroit, and I think on paper it could be one of the best experiences this year. Thanks, How I Met Your. If you just woke up from a coma, hello, things have changed drastically in the world, depending on when you went down. But what I want to let you know, of course, is that what he's referencing is earlier this year, we've covered it extensively on Kinda Funny Games Daily, reports of Quantic Dream being a toxic workplace and having a whole bunch of problems ranging from like air kissing, but not at a party, but then not like, but a French custom thing, to people being mean to each other, to not like overt racism, it seemed, but like, hey, this guy's your cut. A whole bunch of weird shit that makes it sound like a toxic workplace, but who knows? It got reported. Quantic Dream immediately refuted the statement. Reports came out later. Quantic Dream again refuted. They're fighting. They're not saying we fucked up. They're fighting this whole thing. And so it's been a, for us on the sidelines as video game fans, like, oh, I don't. Okay, and it's the two co-founders, right? It's David Cage and the other guy whose name escapes me at the right time right now, and I should have written it down. So it's not the entire studio, but it's not even just sexual being a dick. It's overworking people and like crunch and all that jazz. And so it's went from Detroit Become Human, everyone a couple E3s ago, right, being like, wow, that looks awesome. Me being like, man, Quantic Dream, maybe they're back on track, because I wasn't a fan of Beyond. I was a fan of Heavy Rain, yeah, big time. And I was like, this looks awesome. I played it. I'm like, this plays awesome. Then they did the...
Oh, well, you played some of Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they did the... KindaFunny.com/wrong. The Paris Games Week demo, right? Where... Or maybe it was Gamescom. A foreign trade show where they did the... They put out the demo that was the whole...
The domestic
abuse, child abuse thing that then got people really angry.
And that
got
a lot of pushback, yeah.
Right, where people were like, whoa, like, I don't know if domestic abuse or child abuse should be a pawn in this game. And then they interviewed David Cage and asked him about that, and he kind of bristled at it and like, would you ask a filmmaker?
Yeah, I remember it was a very prickly interview, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And so then that had happened, so people were like, hmm, and then this all broke, and so it's... So it's... In terms
of the release date is kind of this is all come now it's all come back we're revisiting all of this.
So of course now it is. I've seen the gamut, as they say, of articles today of, hey, release date's out, look for it soon. Hey, the release date's out. I read somebody, hey, the release date's out, we're not even going to cover this game from here on out. We probably won't play it. And it's like a more of a fanny site than it was like an IGN. It wasn't like an IGN.
Right.
And then it's, you know, it's this dust cloud now. It is this, you know, Iden to their Ellen Page of, it's going to follow them around in these things.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to affect sales, Gary Wood?
I mean, yeah, I mean, to some degree, yes. In the sense that there obviously are going to be some people out there, even if it's only a handful,
yeah,
who are feel so strongly about these issues that they would not buy the game.
Yeah.
Whether or not there's enough of them to measurably put a dent in the game, probably not.
Yeah, remains to be seen, I think. Yeah. And that's... It's, as usual, one of those fascinating situations where I would love to see the alternate reality where these stories didn't come out. And would PlayStation handle the announcement of the release date differently? Would it be a bigger push? Because it was today. I came in. All right. I woke up, checked Twitter, you know, dicked around Instagram, came into work, sat down, opened my Twitter again, looked through my email. And it wasn't until Tim came in and sat down. He's like, hey, Detroit release date, huh? And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I went up on the blog this morning. I was like, it did? I hadn't started gathering Games Daily yet. And usually when someone, a PlayStation exclusive, hey, we're putting up a release date, hey, this is what's happening, my Twitter lights up with it. Right. And I don't know if this is, you know, canary in the coal mine, people aren't as excited. If it's just, hey, it didn't get the push it needed because it was just put on the PlayStation blog and kind of quietly done there, I don't know. But then it did become the thing of, well, you know what, I want to get to the next question because it's involved with this. It's not even a question so much. Mark S. writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, regarding the announcement of the release date for Detroit today, why do people love yelling fuck Konami and refuse to buy anything from them over them abusing their employees, but suddenly turn a blind eye to a studio with a history of a culture of racism and sexual harassment and buy their games? Again, Mark S. seems like a jumps to conclusions, Matt. Allegations of all this, sure. That's where it's at. When I sat there and the release date's here, great. And I tweeted out that, Detroit Become Human has a release date. This pleases me. And I put out the thing. I did hover over the tweet button for a second of like, wait, is it okay for me to be excited for this game anymore? Like, am I, like, what? But this is the thing. I don't have an answer. 100%. You're kind of funny, best friends. You're here to watch and have video game discussions. That's the camp I'm in of, I loved Heavy Rain. Did not like Beyond, but I didn't, like, it just didn't work. And I didn't think this was a great setup. This looks like a return to what I want from Quantic Dream. Then to get these stories out there that are allegations, they don't fall. And this is a shitty, this is the whole problem with 2017/2018 is the fact that when the Weinstein stuff starts happening, all the Hollywood stuff starts happening, it was an allegation and then a, hey, yeah, I've been a shitbag person and I'm going to try to be better. Or I don't know. And like, there's someone saying like this with the Detroit stuff. It's been this weird, hey, this is what the people have said have happened. No, it isn't. And we're literally in a, he said, they said.
On the David Cage Quantic Dream side, it's just been like line in the sand denial.
We did not do this. And they're like, look at
everything.
They're like, this is a report that somebody did in terms of like, we asked to be invested or we were investigated and they looked at it and they said they found no grounds of it. And so it is just this allegation kerfluffle thing that's moving around. And we've talked about it in passing on the show. This is the first like big news that's happened since the actual news of the allegations. And so it is. I also don't understand how this is the problem with this situation is it's just there isn't a black and white. Well, and I feel like I'm excited for this game. Hundreds of people worked on this game. Me supporting and playing this game doesn't. Is the right move. And I don't even know if this is, again, they're allegations. Who knows if the right move was to walk away from the game? Does that hurts the people who made the game and want the game shared? Right. Does the turmoil they went through to make the product? It's how do you separate the art from the artist conversation?
Well, and that's obviously a conversation that is has been happening in film now for the last several months. Is can you separate the art from the artist? Can you even enjoy a Roman Polanski film at this point and say, well, the film is the film, and the man obviously is an awful person, but like, does that mean that the film is awful? And you know, there are different views on that, and now we're seeing it in games as well. So, I think it. On the allegations, I just don't know. Honestly not paid enough attention to have an informed opinion on it, to be honest with you. I think the other part of it that is interesting is what you can judge is what's in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that if the game is really, really good, then that's one thing. If it's got a lot of issues, then that's another. But what I think that the second part of this was, you know, the game obviously is trying to do stuff that is touching on social themes,
sure,
things that are very sensitive,
disturbing themes. Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree that games shouldn't be tackling those themes. I think we all agree these days that video games are as legitimate a form of artistic expression as any other. So why can't games tackle things like child abuse and cancer and things that are very, sure, you know, taboo, difficult to talk about subjects as much as film? And well, I think they can, and there have been many games that have handled very difficult subjects sensitively and in a way that people have found helpful and uplifting, and you know, they add something to the conversation. When I saw that piece of the game that they revealed with the domestic abuse situation with the dad and the child,
sure,
I found it very squeamish and not in a good way. Like, I just kind of felt like, is this? It felt more exploitative than actually. I mean, with the best will in the world, I'm sure they didn't sit down and say, let's exploit this kind of situation for like cheap social,
sure,
you know, media hits and get some controversy going around the game. I imagine that they went into it fully intending to do something, to say something worthwhile, powerful, about a very difficult issue. Yeah. And I haven't seen the finished game, so who knows? But again, these kind of things are high risk, high reward. Mm. If you get them wrong, boy, are you going to hear from people that are not, yeah, happy about it. And so I think that the game itself and what's in it, there's going to be enough controversy there if the rest of the game is anything like the pieces that were shown, to really seal its fate one way or the other. It either got this stuff right or it didn't. In terms of allegations of a toxic environment at the developer and stuff like that, I just don't know. But I do think that this stuff is being taken seriously enough and should be, that,
sure,
it can have a real impact. And people that need to clean up their acts really, really do need to do so.
The one thing. And I'm talking about in the moment when that, I want to say it was a trailer. It might have been a walkthrough demo though. But when the child abuse stuff popped at, yeah, that conference.
Yeah.
I remember having a completely different read on it. Now, granted, this is the same one where the Last of Us stuff happened, where, you know, they had the hammer getting hit, right, on that woman and everybody's like, it's too brutal.
Yeah.
I think. Kind of funny that conversation wrong. Maybe I'm mashing it all together. But I remember watching it and being like, as somebody who likes Heavy Rain and, you know, followed and covered Beyond the entire way through, I remember, oh, they're jumping around in this demo. They're showing a bunch of different cuts here and, yeah, different outcomes. And it's, I think it made it seem too trivial. And I want to say one of the bigger sites, maybe a Polygon, maybe a Kotaku, someone went through and played through that demo days later and actually was like, okay, it's not as crazy. It's not as bad as it seems. It's not as exploitative as it might seem.
Well, then they made a mistake in carving out that portion 100%. Allowing it to be taken out of context in the way that they did.
Sure.
But it's not like that. In the game, it's much more nuanced or whatever. Okay, but then why just carve it out and show us a piece that is easy to, as you say, misinterpret or not right. judge fairly? Like, don't put it in front of us if it's not ready to be judged.
And that's true. And that's a great point. And that's the problem. I think it's that. There's a disconnect sometimes between the creator and then the audience, in the fact that the creator's been in the shit of this game for so long, right? That they know what they're trying to say. They know what they're trying to showcase. They know all these things that they think are going to be communicated to the audience, or that the audience is going to give them more leeway with, right? That you're going to show this and like, oh, but you know how our games are. You know that it's going to be 15, 20 minutes before you get to that first reference. You're going to learn this family. You're going to fall in love with the girl, hopefully, if you make the choices we think you're going to make. And then this happens, this conversation, you notice this twitch, you notice this weird verbiage, and then that puts you on this path to trying to protect that girl.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, from the first demo, I thought, okay, because I liked Heavy Rain a lot.
Yeah.
I really liked it. For all its flaws, I really enjoyed the experience of playing it. Mm-hmm. Very immersive. I got totally engrossed in it. Beyond Two Souls, I didn't play. That's why I asked you about it before the show, if you liked it or not.
Yeah.
And so you've liked one and not the other. Who knows what this one is going to be? It's obviously the most ambitious one yet. I think it's also the one that potentially can have the most to say thematically. There's obviously so much going on in our culture right now. You know, the fusion of our culture and technology and the Internet of Things. And then again, all the other stuff like domestic violence and all kinds of things in our culture. This game seems to be trying to find a way to say something worthwhile about. But again, it's a high wire act. It's very difficult to do that. Again, if you get it right, you can achieve one of the the pinnacles of artistic ambition, which is say something really worthwhile that needed to be said and hopefully enlighten people or, you know, make them think about something in a new way. If you can do that, great. But when you go to that place, again, it's a very narrow tightrope. And if you get it wrong and if it comes off as exploitative in some way, it's a long way down.
And I think a lot of it, in terms of the people who bristled really hard at that and had a really, visceral reaction to seeing that demo we're talking about, I noticed something interesting in a lot of the reporting or the tweets about it, were the fact that it wasn't even so much what they had seen. It was the idea that they had seen the theme, they see where it's going, they worry about it being exploitative. But then it was also the connection to David Cage, where a lot of people seem to...
Who was a polarizing figure even before this all blew up, right?
Right, exactly. That was the thing, is I think since probably before, maybe even since Heavy Rain, I think it's more around the Beyond Two Souls time, and after the success of Heavy Rain, it seemed like people had made up their minds about whether they either thought he was an artist or that he was a windbag or something like that. And so, because that was the whole thing of like, I wouldn't trust most people with these themes, let alone David Cage. And I was like, that's a really shitty thing to say.
Right.
But I understand that it's your personal opinion, and he's said what he said and acted the way he's acted.
But I remember reading the interview between the I think it was The Verge or one of these places.
I think it might have been Eurogamer. I think it was Martin Robinson. If we're talking about the same one, where he's like, would you ask a filmmaker these questions? And he's like, I would.
And it was like one of those interviews where, like, if you were watching it, you'd be getting uncomfortable. Because, it's not
cozy. You do that shift in your seat.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, oh, these guys are kind of, going at each other.
Yeah.
And again, there's often, good content to be had there because people are being very honest and they want to express themselves. But yeah, it did feel awkward. I don't know if I'm going to, I guess I'll wait to see if the game is any good. And that, I think that certainly at the end of the day, to go back to the original question, I think there are some people who were, or maybe whether they were predisposed or not to not like this game and its creator, they're not going to buy this. And even if they went in neutral, they may have read things that like, oh, fuck this guy. But again, I think that those... I don't think that will be a statistically significant number of people. I think ultimately what will decide if the game is successful or not is if it's good or bad.
Right.
If the game is like 10 out of 10, oh my God, one of the best games of the year, and it still flops, then you go, okay, something else happened.
Sure.
And was it the backlash? But if the game sucks or is just middling and it doesn't do great, then well, they've got no one to blame but themselves for not making a good enough game.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens. I've covered it. I was going to say, just jumping back to Mark's point. Instead, let's move to Eric K. Again, I would say 95% of the questions today were about this game and the release date, but talking about the game. And of that 95%, I would say 20 to 30 were about, man, how do we, what do we do? I feel this way. The allegations, blah, blah, blah. Meaning that 80 to 70 were then about this. Eric K. writes in and says, "Hello, Greg," and some other person has listened in the notes for yesterday's episode. I'm not discounting the extremely talented folks who sit next to Greg on the show. "So we're all thinking it. What does Detroit's release date mean for Spider-Man? Right now, there are Sony exclusives lined up for April, God of War, of course, on April 20th, and May 25th, now Detroit Become Human. Is Spider-Man slotted up? Slotted up, he says, for the June E3 slot, much like The Last of Us? Curious to hear your thoughts. Eric K."
I feel like this is the way you approach every question. What does this mean for Spider-Man?
I do, because Insomniac won't give us a release date, and they're a bunch of jerks. I think this obviously means, you could clearly tell that now, is Spider-Man's going to be after Detroit, right? So then, yeah, I think you have two dates now. I think it is either in June with E3, like The Last of Us, like you point out, Eric K., even though I feel like that's a weird move to be, that's like PlayStation 3 Sony exclusives of April, May, June, you're putting out giant first-party games. I think it's, and I think I've said this before, I would then say the other date you're looking at is September, similar to Metal Gear Solid 5. Before we get out to...
Well, then September is really the beginning of the big holiday game season.
But that was the thing, you remember, that Metal Gear Solid 5 did so well. Was like, all right, cool, we're going to start it. They were like September 1st. We're like, we're going to get out here and not get in the way of October, November, when it is Battlefield and Call of Duty and da-da-da-da, where it's like, that's the real bloodbath of everybody fighting each other.
Yeah.
We're going to get here right after the summer, right after when you're getting in. And I remember thinking The Last of Us was a weird place to put a game, like the week of E3, a game of that caliber, a game that size, but it didn't hurt that game at all.
Right.
And the argument there, of course, is that, okay, well, people are off or out of school, like they're at home, they want to play more games and stuff.
So are you worried that all the hot... spring release date or early summer release dates have been claimed now, and Spider-Man's going to have to push so as to not get in the way of other games?
Well, it's definitely not happening in the spring for sure.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's... Using Sony's loose definition of spring, June might still be spring.
I don't know if it's changed, but historically, you know, big games don't typically release in the summer months. Is that still the case?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that weird thing where I think you've seen more and more start doing that E3 thing, because I know Last of Us, I'm trying to think, there was another... first party exclusive, maybe in Uncharted, maybe Uncharted 3, something like that, or maybe even an Infamous that was like, no, we're going to do the same thing in that weekend. I'm like, that always sucks because I'm at E3 and I want to play the game.
Yeah.
They
don't consider you enough, do they, when
they don't
decide these release
You know what
dates.
I mean? They really don't think about
they
what
should
would
really be
asking me.
The same way as we just did here. There should be a note, like, how does this affect Greg?
Exactly. I mean, just send me the games super early, as long as the trophies are online. That's the biggest problem, of course. You know what I mean? I don't want to get this thing early. You know, with Heavy Rain, what I did is...
Oh, so sometimes you get games ahead of the ship date, but they haven't, like, switched on the trophies yet?
That's the worst.
Oh, my God. Well, what a nightmare for you that must be.
No, because what happens is, now with PlayStation, they're on my unit. So, but then when it tries to ping the network to give them to me, the network's like, I don't know what this game is because nobody's uploaded them on my end. So there's this...
Well, you will eventually get them.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's this giant sweat drop of what if, like, the PlayStation dies?
What happened? What if someone stole your PlayStation or whatever?
Exactly. There's I've had it before where I have trophies spread out over three systems, which is also nightmare mode.
Yeah.
Of like Horizon, I was trying to be the first person in the world to platinum it, but of course I had to go on some dumb trip to see fans. And so I almost had Joey come in here and turn on a different PlayStation. Oh, this is before Joey. I had Tim come in here to turn on a PlayStation to boot up. I had him into my desk, and I had him on this Pro or something, and then I had him. It was a nightmare. My life's rough.
Yeah,
and I just want to play these games and get the trophies.
I'm definitely really feeling for you right
Thank
now.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody's actually, you know, paying attention, listening.
Well, again, I know how seriously you take the trophies, and I've been very worried about. As I said to you earlier, I was thinking about getting a PS4 Pro and upgrade, and I was asking you really about the upgrade process, because like my Persona 5 save game.
Sure.
Well, I've got 60
Well, you've already got
in.
Those on the Plus, right? You've been sending them to the cloud, right?
Well, so when you do a save slot in Persona 5, you can, there's local save slots, so there's also a cloud save slot. And when I save into both, just
Good
to be
smart,
extra
smart.
Sure. Because again, if I lost my place, or it blew, if it got fried or was stolen or whatever, I'd be heartbroken to lose my
But
save.
Have you made your PlayStation 4 your primary PlayStation 4?
Yeah, because I only have one.
What, but you still got to go in there and hit it.
This is my home PlayStation. Yes, I believe
so. Okay, cool.
So.
Then it should be uploading your saves.
Oh, it should do it anyway?
To PlayStation Plus, if that's enabled, which I think it is by default.
All right.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. So you should be all right. Spider-Man, I say it's going to, either be the week of E3 in June, like you're saying, but I still think that's weird, so I wouldn't put it... I don't think it's too crazy to say September, which I think I've said before on the show. Now, here's the wrinkle. A lot of you motherfuckers that are popping up with Days Gone stuff, Days Gone ain't coming to 2018. Days Gone is a 2019 game. They've never been super hard about it. It's a 2018 game. Yeah, I know it's... I think maybe John Garvin said it in some interview that then got picked up. It definitely didn't have it on that. Everything we showed with the 2018 dates, the first half of the year, the spring of the year. I think Days Gone is very much now a 2019 game, and I would hazard a guess, if they're smart, it's going to be a Horizon kind of release. So like February, get it out February, March, right in there, right? Of like, not even March, I would say January would be perfect, but I think probably February, of like, hey, talented studio, new IP, you want something new after the holiday, here it is, get psyched. That's what I think.
That was the game, Days Gone. That was the one that most I felt most off-putting out of E3. I had to I stopped watching the only trailer that I just stopped like a third of the way through and said, fuck this, I'm not watching this. Because it was just a bunch of dudes strangling each other, and I'm just like, for me, it's not, maybe it's a good game, I don't know, but I see that kind of stuff, and maybe it's just me getting older, I'm becoming a softie in my old age, but like, I'm tired of games, and I'm tired of films, and I'm tired of all kinds of stories and things that are just about like,
dystopian
future. How fucking cruel can we, how cruel can we make people behave towards one another?
Sure.
Like, what are the depths of kind of depravity and cruelty and ignominy that we can demonstrate? I mean, I get that there's drama in it, but I'm just tired of all that shit. I want something a bit more positive. And again, I love Neil Druckmann and I love The Last of Us. I didn't like that trailer. I thought, what, does the camera really need to be on the guy on the arm as it's getting shattered? Like, what does that add to it? Like, I often feel like that what is not seen and suggested is more effective than just like going, look at this, and it becomes really kind of prurient and I don't know, just kind of mawkish. And I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, I understand.
I remember having a really bad. It's funny because I remember at the time that Days Gone trailer was shown, and I tweeted something about. I didn't say what it was, but I just said like I just had to turn one of these E3 trailers off like a third of the way. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people said, was it Days Gone? Because I had the same reaction.
Yeah.
I think people are getting tired of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people say it was perfected in the movie, The Book of Eli. But when it comes down to Days Gone, Days Gone has an uphill battle ahead of it. I do think that that is when we talk
about... In what sense?
I mean, I'm the PlayStation guy, right? I've covered it my entire career. And people talk to me about PlayStation primarily when they want to talk about games or now Monster Hunter or what up. But Days Gone is the exclusive that often is the one that gets left out. God of War, Spider-Man, Detroit. Yes, let's talk
about it. Is that a PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it's from Sony Bend up in Oregon.
Okay.
And so that is the one that when it debuted, people were like, is it, it's not Last of Us, it's this thing. Okay. And then they showed that first footage. They did the trailer and then they came back to the, you know, running from the freakers, tweakers, whatever they were. And they were zombies. And everybody's like, oh. And then it was like, well, the game's not really third person shooting that way. It is more dynamic and it is this open world and it does... You play and there's time of day and like weather and like you go and that affects the missions. And then that next E3, which I think is the last one, right? They showed the demo twice once behind closed doors, where the original one was Daylight. He went in there fucking killing people. And then the second one was Nightfall. It was covered in snow. So it was all stealth. And he was like crunching on snow and going through and not engaging and everything. I think the concept sounds really cool. I like Sam Witwer a lot, who's the star of the story.
Okay.
I really like Sony Bend's games before, you know, Siphon Filter and stuff.
But do you want to play another zombie apocalypse game?
I'm a zombie guy, but I don't know how... If this is a different take on the zombie thing, sure. Now, all that I just said, throw out the window, because State of Decay 2 is my, like, Xbox One game of the year. I can't wait to play this year.
Okay.
So, I'm the zombie guy. I don't think Days Gone has shown me enough in any of the, like, skill tree ways it wants... For me to be excited. I know the talent of that studio. I like the idea of them being like, we're doing this open world where the motorcycle's a character and that. I just haven't seen or played it. That's going to be a game that really benefits from, in the same way Horizon did, where when I got to go down to LA and sit there and play Horizon for like 4 hours, when I get 4 hours with Days Gone, I feel like I'll be able to come back and be like, this is what's good, bad, or otherwise.
I mean, as much as I found the, you know, the strangling and the violence and all that, again, personally off-putting, it's just my personal taste. I'm kind of over it. I want to believe that if they are making a zombie game, they've got to have something new to say. Because, again, we're all exhausted of even The Walking Dead is
ratings are down, yeah.
And, well, I'm just saying, the video game, like, the fourth season is the last season.
You're working on it, though. Tell me all about it.
I worked on it a little bit, and I think, you know, we all recognize
it's all a Clem
that.
Dream, right, at the end.
You wake up at the end like Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
It's someone else's video game.
Yeah, Lee wakes you back away, shakes you awake in the RV, season one.
That, you again, if someone comes and says, okay, here's the pitch, new video game. Zombies are taking over the world. Like, the first thing I do is, next.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, if that's going to be your opening line, you better have, but here's why. It is, and here's the twist that we've added that makes it different to all the others and totally kind of subverts the tropes of the genre. Okay, I'm willing to hear that. Is this doing that? I don't know. But Nobody does. If I'm going to play another zombie game, I need a fresh take on it.
Gotcha.
I think that's a reasonable...
This far into
the zombie trend,
right.
It's been going on now for several years. Like, it's starting to get a little bit played out.
Well, that's the thing is, I feel like there's lazy ways to do it. And I don't think of Sony Bend as a lazy studio.
Right.
I feel like they are going to have something in there that is interesting. And if it's more about the motorcycle club, which is the big part of it, right? Yeah. If it's more about family and then the like, zombies are there, that's interesting to me. But it's like what you're talking about, why I love State of Decay, is that State of Decay is the single player. And this, I'm talking about single player one now, because I think there's multiplayer, right? And two. The single player one of you just go out and loot at all these houses, right? And there's zombies running at you and you're wandering and kill them and you gotta be quiet and like, oh, you've overfilled your rucksack, but you can leave it there and run back and drop stuff off and come and like there's permadeath and it's like, it's not a zombie like, and it's not Last of Us, which was like, this is the story, right?
Right.
Joel and Ellie's story is what this is about. It's not even about the creatures as much as about the world is falling apart. And that's what's interesting about The Last of Us then for me as a fan, right? Loved The Last of Us. Remember, you've beaten it, right? You played it?
You know what?
My God.
I have a save at home.
Gary. That,
let's not even have this conversation.
Gary. Okay. We won't.
So many games Gary. I parked over the years, or I've waited for in the last year or so, that I'm waiting. I got to bite the bullet and just buy a pro. Because Shadow of the Colossus, Horizon Zero Dawn, Last of Us,
Remastered,
all games that are remastered, not necessarily, but there's a better version on PlayStation 4 Pro that I feel like if I'm going to go back to them or start them, I want to do it in the best version possible.
Okay.
So I just need to, I got to dip into the retirement fund and buy myself a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Well, Last of Us is one of those games that left its thumbprint on me, right? I always talk about that. It left a thumbprint on my heart, the same way The Walking Dead Season 1 did.
We just had that conversation yesterday with Jared. One of the questions was like, what are the stories that have left an imprint on you?
Right. And I remember, and I'm not going to spoil Last of Us because some of you are like Gary and crazy, but there was a very beautiful moment towards the end of that game where you get to reflect. And it happened, and I went outside and walked Portillo, and as I was walking Portillo, it all sunk in. I teared up. And I was like, wow. And I remember having Bruce and Neil by IGN for a Beyond. I don't even know. I guess they were there for Uncharted, maybe. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. But we were talking outside, and it was right before Last of Us Remastered was coming out. And I was like, I'm going to pick that up again. Like, I feel like I want to go back. And I jumped back in and put it in, and I was like, I turned it off for like an hour. I'm like, I can't go back. Like, that was my story. My trip through Last of Us, that was my Last of Us thing. And going back, knowing the heartbreak and the pitfall and how dark it was, I was like, I can't do that again.
Do you feel like playing through it a second time would somehow kind of dilute your memory of the impact of the first time playing it through?
Yeah, and it was knowing what was around the bend, I think, was just like too much to
bear.
Like
I said yesterday, you only get to play a game through for the first time once.
Yeah.
Like, New Game Plus and all that stuff is great, but it's never going to be the same as the first time.
And so Last of Us 2, I'm in this place of when, you know, Neil's talking about like the first game was love, about love, and the second game's about hate. It's like, wow, like, that's dark. You know what I mean? And you're talking about how dark these dystopian futures are. To get in there and play that, it's going to be, I don't find myself like, yeah, fuck, yes, I can't. Oh, where's Last of Us 2? Like, you know, like Spider-Man, where I'm like, where the hell is Spider-Man? Last of Us 2 is going to come, and it's going to be a very much like, all right, put it in, and like, this is like required. I love Naughty Dog, obviously. I love Neil. I love the team. Troy Baker, yeah. But like, I'm excited to get in there and play it, but not excited like, woo, I'm pumped. Let's do it. Like, it's going to be like, oof. Pour a glass of whiskey.
You know you're in for it's going to be an ordeal at times. Yeah, for sure.
We'll see.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I games that make you feel uncomfortable and tackle hard subjects and go to those dark places, I'm totally fine with, as long as it feels earned. The ones that do it purely exploitatively without anything of substance to justify why they're doing that, those are the ones that I don't like. So as much as you say Last of Us 2 is about hate, my initial reaction is like, really? That sounds horrible. But I trust Neil to deal with that, and Hallie and the people that are working on the game and writing that game. I trust them to tackle that subject in the way that has worth. And so I'm excited for that.
Okay. That was only number one on the Roper Report.
Jesus Christ.
Let's go. We'll make it all work. Don't worry. Number two, Nintendo. This is from IGN. Nintendo is more interested in new peripherals than Switch 2.0. Nintendo will reportedly aim to increase the number of peripherals for the Switch in its second year on the market rather than update its base hardware. Of course, we've talked on this show a lot about, is there going to be a Switch Lite, a Switch XL? Like, right, why are you going to do that? Apparently not anytime soon. According to the Wall Street Journal sources, Nintendo's focusing on better manufacturing and shipping of its current Switch model to keep up with demand. Alongside that, the sources say that the Switch features in the coming year could also include additional network-related features and peripherals to be attached to its USB Type-C port. Okay. I love my Switch. I can't, when I play it and handle it, I can't think of something I'd want to change about it. And I know people are always like, oh, well, I'd like one that was a permanent handheld or one that, you know, had a bigger screen. I'm like, I understand all that. It's not what I want. Not that they, PlayStation should kowtow to my trophy demands and letting me play the games as soon. Nintendo can do whatever they want and listen to their audience.
Why would you? I mean, I'm sure, you know, deep in somewhere in Nintendo R&D, they're working on the next thing.
Sure.
But for right now, again, they've hit pay dirt with the Switch. Why would you mess with it?
The only reason,
keep doing what you're doing.
You figure you kick around these redesigns so that when you do see it finally plateau or dip, that's like, okay, cool. We've reached market saturation.
Right.
How do we get people super stoked for this thing?
Yeah, I think it makes total sense. So, again, we the things that we want better network features, right? We want the store. We want the subscription.
Yeah, give me the game. Let's see what this online
Nintendo
thing is.
Flicks or whatever that is going to be, right? All you can eat games. We want, you know, some kind of, I certainly want some kind of virtual console. Yeah. I mean, you know, the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic. I want all of that in my Switch as much as is possible. Interested to see what kind of crazy peripherals they might come up with.
Well, Labo, I mean, they've already... Okay.
Can I just one small note, just as one little design thing that I'm so appreciative of, USB Type-C.
Mm.
This, I mean, that's
getting ahead of the curve.
Well, it's becoming increasingly prevalent. I have a MacBook at home that uses USB Type C, and I'll be so glad when USB Type C is just standard for everything because it's so much better than the old shit.
Yeah.
But like, just this morning, I dug out my old 3DS because I wanted to do something with it, and I had to go find the fucking
charger
because it's proprietary charger.
Yeah.
I've got a million USB. Micro and mini USB cables laying around. I've got USB-C, I've got Lightning, I've got everything under the sun. But until I can find that one charger, I can't plug in my... I did find it, but I had to go find it. I love the fact that they finally went with like a standard port that plug into anything.
It's smart.
Very grateful for that.
Thank you, Nintendo. Number three, Battlefield V. It's apparently going to be called Battlefield 5, but with a V. Goes to World War II. This is via Venture
You know what they're
going to
do? They're going to do like the Victory V thing.
V
right?
for Victory?
Yeah.
Well, the game is Battlefield V. It was previously known as Battlefield 2 internally at EA. Battlefield 5 will return the series to World War II in a main entry for the first time since 2009's Battlefield 1943. Games Beat has learned from sources familiar with EA's plans. These sources wish to remain anonymous.
I am so, so grateful and so relieved that they are finally tackling World War II in a video game.
You know, I mean, it's about time.
How have we gone this long? One of the greatest conflicts... Probably the most significant global event.
The greatest generation, you know?
In world history.
Yeah.
Certainly up there. And where are the video games? Where are the World War II video games?
Here they come.
Hopefully Battlefield having the courage to tackle such a neglected subject as World War II.
I've always wanted to storm Normandy Beach.
In a video game. I know. Wouldn't you want to do Normandy Beach?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to do all that stuff? And now hopefully this will, other games... Maybe Activision, maybe they'll get in on the war.
What do you think? I mean, do you think that like I understand like the industry isn't cutthroat. I mean, it is. People want to do successful, but there's a lot of talk.
Right.
When somebody from Battlefield was talking to somebody from Call of Duty, like, wait, you're doing World War II? You're doing World War II in 27? Fuck, we're doing it in 2018. Fuck.
I mean,
do they not care? Is it backed? I mean, people seemed happy with World War II. The story was great.
I'm being obnoxious, obviously, but you know, all credit to EA. As much as I was saying this about World War II, now, you know, tongue in cheek, I genuinely thought that about World War I. Like World War I is an epic conflict, and there's so much stuff going to be mined.
Yeah.
And games never touched it. And the fact that Battlefield 1 did it, I thought was very nice. I hope that for World War II. If you're going to go back there, at least find some corner of World War II that hasn't really been, you know, done in great detail. I like the Pacific Theater is something that hasn't really been handled, which is strange because it's like
a Medal of Honor Pacific, wasn't
it? Well, there was, but again, it's mostly
Pacific. It hasn't been handled as much.
I would like to see more North Africa.
Okay.
I would like to see more Pacific. Just, you know, I feel like the Europe stuff's been.
If they're doing what Battlefield 1 did of, again, the vignettes,
yeah,
of like, hey, here, we're giving you a, we're going all over the place, but giving you a dialed in story. And that's what worked for Call of Duty World War II as well. It's like, hey, it's that Band of Brothers vibe. You know these guys. Let's go through and do all this stuff.
Yeah, but like, just find some theater or some battle or some period geographically or chronologically, some part. Some story of World War II, a true story, or that has been overlooked. It hasn't been. It's still, you know, even though both in video games and movies and television and books, World War II has obviously been so exhaustively covered.
Sure.
But there are still incredible stories that haven't been told or haven't been told enough that we would that would be fascinating to shine a light on and educate people about. Here's like a fascinating part of World War II that you never knew about. Well, we're going to, you know, bring it to life in this video game. It's going to be great, and you'll learn something as well.
Yeah. I'd like to see what Captain America's up to in it, you know?
That's not real.
I mean, I've heard it both ways. I'm excited to see what Battlefield 5 becomes, Gary, but it's still so far away. If I want to know what was that today in the Digital Mom and Shop drops, where would I go?
Oh, shit. This is what happens when you ask me to come in on an extra day.
All right, you know
the
what?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Can I just say, when we have another host and they don't do that, it is missed.
Yeah.
I don't like it. When
I got to keep a few things under my hat up my sleeve so people
don't
just...
that's something you need to
everybody's
keep.
Everybody's like, oh man, Andrew and Britt, they were great. Oh man, Jared and Gary were great. I'm like, well, don't forget.
Only
I'm still coming in here. I'm swinging the bat.
I'm
going to do something I never do and tell you this is sponsored by brooklinen.com. I hate going shopping. Everybody knows that I talk about all the time. But brooklinen.com means I don't have to go shopping for sheets anymore. I've used this service. I have them right now. When you see photos of Portillo on the bed, he's on the Brooklinen duvet cover. It's white, navy polka dots. The sheets, navy as well.
Yeah, I heard all about them yesterday.
Did I ask Jen for help? No, I didn't, Gary. I did it all myself because you get to click and see what actually looks good together.
She you was make very the combos? Impressed.
Yeah,
the
you do it all right there. It does the thing where you like click it and then it automatically updates and shows you what it's going to look like.
All right.
It's nice. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 12,000 five-star reviews, Brooklinen sheets have been named the winner of the best online bedding category in good housekeeping. Versatile colors and patterns, you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding, underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. They make a difference on how you sleep. Start getting sleep with better sheets. No unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, but not these Brooklinen folks. They're good. They're priced well. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you, the listener. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMESDAILY, all one word, at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMESDAILY. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. And I agree. They're very, very nice.
You've tried them.
I literally sleep on them. I literally sleep on them. Yeah, again, Porty on Instagram. You see him on it. He likes them. He's cuddled up on them. And again, I impressed my wife. And I'm an idiot. Out today. Thimbleweed Park's Ransom Unbeeped DLC for Windows, Mac, and Linux is available exclusively from the Steam and GOG shop for just $2. Detention is on Switch. It's Thursday, by the way. If I don't say a platform title, it's Switch. Detention. Mulaka. Love Triangle. Subsurface Circular. Totes the Goat. Packet Queen hashtag. Someone fucking stop these people at Switch. You got a Packet Queen hashtag? No, but Totes the Goat?
Sometimes the title is enough to pique my interest.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I don't
Totes
know what that
the
is.
Goat, I do want to see what that's
I got to check that out. Right. Like Packet Queen hashtag?
Paper Wars Cannon Fodder Devastated. RTO2. That's on Wii U. Bridge Constructor Portal
Games
is on
still
PlayStation
coming out
4.
For Wii U.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a burgeoning platform. Lots of users. Bold Boy is on PlayStation 4. Seum Speedrunners from Hell is on PlayStation 4. Damascus Gear Operation Tokyo is on Switch. Sengoku 2. Switch. We're back to Switch stuff here. Air Hockey.
Ooh, Air Hockey.
There you go. Arcade Archive, Star Force, Guilt Battle Arena, Poi Soft Thud Card is on Switch. And then a normal lost phone comes to Switch, Gary. I was a big proponent of this game.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before the show.
Back in 2017, talked about this one on the Gamescast. I think it made it on our top 10 list or something at some point. Love it. It's a great game. On your phone it was, you know, you pick it up, you open the game, and then it makes your phone into the game. So you sit there and you go through messages.
Your phone becomes a lost phone that you have found.
Exactly, exactly. Marco Hutchins writes into kindoffunny.com/KFG, just like you can, and says, do you think the lost phone game would be fun to play as a couple? It comes out on Switch today, and I was thinking about playing it with my fiance on our flight coming up. Also, do you think it would be better played on a phone for immersion? I know you enjoyed it a lot, so I thought I'd ask. Keep making that glorious kind of funny content, Marco. I think it would be a very good couple game. It's because the idea of the game is you get it, you start playing, and it look, again, it's your phone, but you're switching the situation. And it's text messages from the dad saying, like, hey, Sam, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. Hope you're happy. Where are you? Mom's worried. And like, clearly, through this first text message thread, it's like, something's wrong. This Sam person is missing. What do I do?
And you've got to solve the mystery.
Exactly. What and so you have to start going back through text. And like, you try to connect to Wi-Fi, but you need a password. You try to go into email, you need a password. But you look through other texts, and it's like, hey, what's your Wi-Fi? What's the Wi-Fi password again? Right. And it's like, oh, well, it's my birthday plus it. And then it becomes a detective-y kind of story. So I think for a couple, it'd be great to play that. Because I just played Florence. I talked about that on the Kind of Funny Games cast. Available Friday, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or everybody, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on Monday. And I played that with Jen. And it's not a normal lost phone. It's very much just them telling you a story. But even then, it was nice to share that and, you know, talk about it as it was happening. Let alone a game like this, Marco, where it's going to be, what is going on and who is this person and why would they say that? And that'll be a fun conversation piece, and it'll actually be helpful to have somebody when you get to a puzzle like, wait, what is it and what was that birthday, have somebody out there remembering you.
It's cool that it's on Switch, but it does seem like playing it on a phone would be the best way to play it.
It's one of those immersion wise I would say, yeah, the phones, it was very weird to be like on the phone and be like doing be talking on a
does
phone
it, does it create a believable
illusion
that you actually have now like someone else's phone?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah, because it has its own iOS and all that stuff. You know, I'm gonna re-download it, Gary. It'll go so fast, you'll get to see it here, and then you get to see it, and then everybody's like,
I'm gonna get it. It's great. On my list of mobile games that I've got on my screen here that I need to catch up on.
You know, here's the thing. Apple changed everything on here. You know, the App Store isn't the App Store anymore. You got the iPhone Store. I can't find anything. Am I in the App Store right
you
now?
You liked Florence, didn't
There's
you?
There's the App Store. I love Florence.
That's on deck for me. That's my
You should play that one. That one's super short and
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Gary, tell them about what you ate for breakfast.
I had a Soylent.
Okay.
I didn't
see that one coming.
I actually like it. It's, you know, nutritionally does the basic things I ask it to do. And in the morning when I'm running around the house trying to get my kid ready for school and get her out the door, don't often have time to make the fully complete breakfast. Oh, cool.
So see, yeah, it's going through the video. Apparently, I must have played on like test build, so I don't have it already on there. But you can see, like, yeah, it looks like a phone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think I'm gonna
check it out.
And there were plenty of times where I, playing the game, I would hit the home screen trying to get back to my home screen.
Right,
I was like,
right.
No, this isn't right. I gotta get out of here.
I like it.
Do it, everybody.
I'm gonna get it.
I think it's more immersive on the phone, but if you have your Switch, just play your Switch. That's why I'm saying Florence should come to the
maybe
Switch.
Maybe they should have made the version for the Switch that you found.
A normal Switch.
Yeah, found someone's Nintendo Switch.
I mean, how are you communicating? You know what I mean? It's like open up your voice chat.
I wouldn't be looking to solve the mystery. I'd just fucking wipe it. Great. Free Switch.
Exactly. Free Switch. New dates for you.
Whatever problems this guy might have had.
Flip it right
on
eBay.
Not
it's
my
over.
Problem.
New dates for you. Division is, this is from IGN. The Division is celebrating 2 years and 20 million players from March 1st to March 29th. There will be one global event per week. These global events add modifiers to all activities in game, and players have a chance to earn gameplay rewards and cosmetic items.
Do you know that I'm a huge fan of The Division?
Me too.
I may have mentioned it before.
No. I loved it.
I love it. It was one of my most... When did it come out? 2000... What year did it come out?
I want to say 15?
Maybe
at the end of 15.
It was
maybe
one of my most
16.
Played... It was probably my most played 16. Game that year. I played the hell out of it. I had a squad of regular people. We played every night.
Yeah.
We went in and we did the raids and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. Going into the Dark Zone is some of the most fun I've had in PvP in a really, really long time. I felt like they added something really new and interesting. And then I just kind of, we just drifted away from it. Maybe I should go back. I don't think, I mean, it sounds like Division is doing really, really well. I wonder if they'll do a sequel.
Well, they better.
They got to have Division 2.
And I also want to point out that we are morons. Because I led with Division is celebrating 2 years. And we're like, when did it come out?
Yeah, when did it come out?
Yeah, okay. So, there you go.
So, it came out...
2016.
2016.
Because I remember our first E3, me and Alfredo freaked out about it at E3. So, then it would have been 2016.
Yeah, it was me, Dave Chan, and a couple of his buddies. We used to have a four-man squad. We'd go into the Dark Zone. So much fun. I loved it. I stopped playing. I loved it.
I platinumed it. No big deal. That's probably why I stopped playing. You know what I mean? But I platinumed it after taking time off, where me and Fran played a whole bunch and really dug it.
You know what will drag me back into it is if it gets like a 1X refresh.
They did.
Wait, they did it?
They opened
it. Is it enhanced for 1X?
I'm sorry. 1X, you mean, I thought you meant like Division 1, whatever. I thought you meant additive content, like a giant expansion. No. My apologies. You know,
4K and all that.
That I don't know if they've done that for Xbox.
If they do that, I would go back. Or I'll be back in on a sequel.
Because what they did is they did add a new area recently, and I'm still on the Division subreddit, and everybody loves it. Everybody's like, oh my God, the Division's so...
It sounds like they dealt... Because when I was playing it, I was going on the Reddits and the message boards and the community forums and stuff, and there were a lot of... You know, it's like this with any game. No one's ever happy, but like, there was a lot of... I think it took them a while. They were still finding their feet, you know, the loot drops and the balancing. There were a lot of things they were still finding, like how to set it just right. And a lot of vocal fans saying, no, you don't have it yet. But it sounds like maybe they got there. Because
you should jump back in.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah, hit them all.
I'm telling you, when you go into the Dark Zone and you're trying to get loot out on that extraction chopper.
You call the helicopter and you see somebody on the like running down the street. God, you're like, God, don't do this. Please don't do this.
That next 60 seconds when you're trying to get your loot out, never felt more alive.
You know how you have to kill like 20 rogue agents for one of the trophies to pop for the platinum?
Okay.
Let me tell you, it was super exciting to team up with a best friend and just walk into the Dark Zone, have him shoot you, turn around, shoot him to death, walk out of the Dark Zone, and do that like 20 times. Like that was.
Oh,
like,
so you just exploited?
Of course I did. That's a stupid trophy. It's a dumb trophy.
But
loved the game.
You found that satisfying.
I was angry at the time. Well, not angry, but I was like, this
sucks.
You were
happy to get the platinum.
Yeah, I was calling
it
out.
Again, that's just busy work. That's a chore. That's not fun.
Sure, I know. But I got the platinum.
That's all you care about.
Come on, please. Fortnite jetpacks have been delayed, but they're still coming soon. You were supposed to get them this week, but instead you're getting a hunting rifle as the drop. And then Armello, a fantasy digital board game brought to life by League of Geeks, will launch for free on iOS March 15th. Probably should have been a deal of the day, but Armello, I remember seeing it PAX Indie Boost forever, so I just wanted to give him a shout out. Deals of the day. Steven wrote in with one to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, just wanted to give the heads up that Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is on sale for $5 on Xbox 360. If you're gold now and until March 6th at 6 a.m. It's not backwards compatible yet, but maybe. Damn it, let me dream. Thanks for everything you do, Steve. Steve, you know I love Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. If you are a video game developer and you want me to hug you even quicker than I already probably hug you, whenever somebody says that, oh yeah, and I worked on Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, that's all I want to talk to you about. I went to the Mass Effect Andromeda hands-on whatever reveal at EA Redwood Shores or whatever, and everybody's giving their presentation coming down, and this one guy came up and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm here and I worked on X, Y, and he's saying like big titles, yeah, like Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, and I was like, what? And so at the end, I got up, I let everybody interview him, and I walked over, and I'm like, hey, and he's like, oh, hey, I'm Greg from Kind of Funny. He's like, I am. And I'm like, did you say you worked on Reckoning? He's like, yeah, and I just hugged him. I was like, I got no questions. I just wanted to thank you for
that
game. It's
funny. It's often the case that you meet someone who made a bunch of stuff, and the thing that like makes you go, oh my God, is like, to them is not far from the biggest thing they worked on, but it meant something to you.
That's what it meant to you, yeah, right? This is where we do reader mail, but I've been so good about inserting the reader mail. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Professor Moore,
and you already sold the bed sheets. So
yeah, I sold the bed sheets.
What's left?
I'm out here hawking my wares. I think I might just skip over. So R. Drew wrote in. He's trying to beat the drum that Metal Gear Survive is good. Don't listen to people who didn't like it. And then Professor Maury Bun wrote in and said, "What's good?" Kind of funny. Greg, just wondering what it was like to see two shows back-to-back hosted by contractors and contributors. It's been cool to see some of the roster variations these past few weeks. Thanks for all the awesome content, Professor Moribun. At the risk of being Greg Miller and droning on and on and on about the same thing, I've tweeted about this a bunch of times.
It was either yesterday or the day before.
I did both.
Went on a little tweet storm of just pure, you just seemed very happy.
Yeah. Well, I came home, I made Jen cry on Tuesday because I came home and she was like, how was today? And I was like, today was the dream. Like, today was what we always talked about Kind of Funny becoming, but it became that.
What was it about that day that made it that?
It was that I came in, Andrea and Britt came in to host Kind of Funny Games Daily. while they were going for wait, what? Who's somebody? Oh, for Barb came in for a morning show. So it was like suddenly we had all these amazing personalities in the office, and they were all making content for us and part of the family for us. It wasn't like, you know, they're here doing us a favor. And so it was Nick and Barb did the morning show and destroyed it, and it was awesome and it was amazing. Britt and Andrea were out there, and they gathered all the news stories for themselves, all the questions for themselves. Like, I didn't have to worry about it. I was answering emails and trying to plan GDC stuff. Behind me, Joey and Tim had like an hour and a half back and forth. Like, they'd go work and come back and talk about Kinda Funny Prom. Kevin, Cool Greg was running the show, so Kevin was running around troubleshooting when Ubisoft showed up at noon right. for us to do a Far Cry 5 party mode that'll go up soon. He was talking to them, and like, it wasn't the normal thing we do where Kevin's in charge of everything, so Kevin's pulled in 15 directions. It was that, you know, Alex from Ubisoft showed up and he had the units, and Kevin was like, all right, cool, I'm yours for the next 3 hours. Like, what do we need to do to make it all work?
Right.
And it was just like all the wheels were clicking and going. And when I came in here, I tweeted about this on Tuesday, and this is what I was talking to Jen about, how just like it was the dream fulfilled. Like, I came in here and I sat over there and I didn't make eye contact, because whenever I come in the room and make eye contact with a host, they want to pull me into the show. And just listen to Britton, Andrea do the show, and I teared up. Like, I welled, because they were doing the bits. You know what I mean? The fact that, like, they're doing the Roper Report, and they're,
right.
it was like, Andrea's like, you know, and if Greg was here, he'd do something terrible to tell you that that's not coming out soon, but how do we get, and it's like, wow. Like, I didn't put in the tweet because it sounded way, way too overhanded and hammy, but like, we've always felt and known we're building something special with Kinda Funny. But that was the first day, I think, where it was, you look around and it's like, wow, like I see the legacy. I see what we're becoming. I see where this is. And it's, you don't get those. You know what I mean? You know, you've worked at magazines and built stuff, and it's very rare that you have a moment, let alone 2 days of clarity. Because yesterday was the same thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was me and Austin Creed. We fucking destroyed the morning show. It was awesome. You come on and hug them. You came in. You and Jared came in. You guys planned the show. You sat down and drove the show and did all the stuff. Then we went off, and then we made these party modes with Austin. And then we had this great games cast with him, and like engaging conversation and the communities involved. And it's like, we've known since the beginning that Kinda Funny is something special. And since Kinda Funny Live 3, when we're like, here's the programming, here's Danny and Andrea, here's the new shows we're doing, here's seasonal content, the reaction we got to that, and then we've just been on this upward trajectory. And it was just the last 2 days of like having that moment of like being able to take a breath and look around and be like, wow, like we're there.
Yeah, you
like,
seem quite overwhelmed. Even over Twitter, I could sense that you were you're feeling something.
Well, I mean, it's the, when we do this, I never think about how many people are watching or how many people will watch it. And so when it is that, and even like we talked about on Game Over Greggy show with Barb, where, you know, this week we had one of our best friends hit up on the subreddit being like, we had run into her at Black Panther. We always run into this girl with pink hair at Black Panther or at Marvel movies or superhero movies, midnight opening over in Daly City. And so now it's just, oh, hey, what's up? We see you. And like we talk about the movie afterwards. And we ran into her and her friends at dinner. And so we finished first before going to Black Panther, and we called her the waitress, like, we let us pay for them. You know what I mean? Like, they're our friends, and we fill out and dinner. And then before we could get up to leave, they came over, like, did you just pay for it? Like, you know what I mean? They were like freaking out. And it was so nice. And I was like, all right, see you later. And it was done because she's awesome and she's a best friend, and I wish I could take care of everybody who consumes the content like that, because that's who I am and how I want to take care of people, and didn't think anything else of it. And then, you know, this week she put on the subreddit of like, I've been having a really hard time. Like, I'm going through all this stuff and I'm dealing with all these personal issues and demons, and like that devastated me in a good way. You know what I mean? That like that's out there and that this is real, like what we do. And so it's, we've had the best friend part of it down for a long, long time. And obviously it's a relationship, so it's about communication, and we get better and we stumble and all that stuff. But this has been the week where it's like, whoa, it's like, we're watching all the Iron Man movies, right? It's like in an Avengers, right? Where he gets over his, his core gets overloaded, and Jarvis is like, power's at 400%. And you're like, wow, we're on such a tear right now, and it's not stopping. You know what I mean? Like, next week it's Mega Ran's on hosting the morning show with Nick, and Jessica Negri's here for an entire day to do morning show and GOG. And it's like, not even the fact, I think we've learned so much. Sorry, this is now becoming just a postmortem, or not even a postmortem, but Kinda Funny. But we've learned so much, you know, about like what the audience wants from the shows and guests. where it isn't like, you know, for us, it's, oh my gosh, it used to be, you do something amazing. We've met you in passing or gotten hooked up on Twitter. Come on the show and tell us about that.
Right.
And the audience has been clear, like, we don't mind that once in a while, but we come here to consume the content because we love you guys. And so now it's been very much of, oh, okay, right. So if we bring somebody on, we bring on Austin, we bring on Jess, we bring on Barb, it's not about, it's an hour and a half about you, tell us this. It's just, we're bringing on our friends that fit in with the friend thing we do, right? And they fit at the table and they know what's going on and we know they work for the product we make. I don't know. We're just on a tear right now and it's awesome humbling.
I think I can relate to it. I mean, I've never built like my own media empire or anything, but I feel as a parent, I've had several times in my life over the past 5 or 6 years, and I guess the most recent one would be like, I remember last year, my kid's first day at kindergarten.
Yeah.
And she was all dressed up and had a little backpack on, and she was like ready to go to school. And you just have, you never know, it's like, it just hits you out of nowhere. And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real little person.
Yeah.
With opinions. And like, she's going to grow up and go out into the world. And like, and we did that. Like, we made that thing. And it's independent and it's a living thing that is real and has value, and we brought that into the world and made it, and it's just wonderful. Right. And I don't know if that is, I feel like what you're going through with seeing what you built with this is similar to that. Like, you're a proud parent of this thing that you've made.
I mean, yeah, like that's the thing, right? We willed this into existence. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Tim and I always joke or crack up about it, where like even the first E3, when we went there in 2015 and we're on the show floor for GameSpot, but it was that we walked up to the booth and, you know, we're on the corner with PlayStation on one side and Nintendo on the other, us in the middle.
Yeah.
And you look up and there's the Kinda Funny logo that Nick made at my kitchen table. And you're like, where, how are we here?
I remember, the first few visits to your previous location. Yeah, spare bedroom. In that spare bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always been a crazy ride and always been a weird world, but this is just the first week where it's all caught up to me. And I've had those moments of being able to be like, wow, and be able to pass this off and see Cool Greg over there. Time to squad up! And of course, before I even do that, of course, thank you for everything. I don't want to cry, but thank you. You guys do all this for us.
I was waiting for the Barbara Walters moment.
I'm just terrible. You know, I'm such a fucking pussy. You know what I mean? Crying left and right. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together and keeps being the best community on the internet. Today, JT needs help on PC/Steam. His PC/username is Hell Yeah, YAHH. What's up, Greg and other host? So a new game just came out on Steam this week called Mount Your Friends 3D, and I need some best friends to play with. I was addicted to the last Mount Your Friends game and had the third best score in the global leaderboards for several months, which I was very proud of. Now I need practice buds to get just as good with this game. Also, I'm very into speedrunning PC games and would love to do some co-op speedruns for Battle Block Theater or Human Fall Flat, or any other co-op game a best friend is interested in speedrunning. You don't have to know how to speedrun them already. We can learn the routes ourselves. I changed my Steam icon to the Kinda Funny smiley face and will keep it like that for the next several days just to make it easier for the best friends to know they're adding the right person.
That's a good tip.
That's really good. So everybody add Hell Yeah, one word, HELLYAHH. Speed run some games. Have some fun. I think I'm just going to end it there. You know what I mean? Oh, we got to do You're Wrong, of course. But
oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what Mount Your Friends is, but that's another one.
You don't know Mount Your Friends?
No.
Oh, it's a really... There's some penises swinging around in Speedos. So, I mean, it's not... You don't see it. You know what I mean? It's a good game. I have some Let's Plays I'll show you.
I'll check it out.
Okay, hold on. I'm doing this. I'm opening that guy. I'm doing the You're Wrong thing. It's loading. Here we go. Ugh, there's a bunch. I hate that. What's the date today? The first, right?
Okay, let's do March this. Yeah, we had a whole conversation about it.
Yeah, okay.
March 1st.
Abe Rack writes in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you keep us honest if you watch the show live, and says, March 1st, 2020 will be on a Sunday. You weren't wrong. Just thought you might want to know. So you got two years. So you have to work
more
a Sunday.
Years. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. No. Oh, no. I didn't understand this. I saw a tweet today where Robert Downey Jr. was asked the Marvel Avengers account if he could see the movie early. And they were like, what about April 27th? And he said, can I bring some friends? And I thought, that's a cute little thing. He's doing a private screening. Elding writes right in, guys, neither you nor Gary got this wrong, nor even talked about it, but just a heads up that will impact your MCU and review timeline. Avengers Infinity War has been pulled forward a week. Plan accordingly. Now, Infinity... Oh, no. Oh, no. Joey, what are we going to do? We got to... Tim and Joey says Tim and I talked about it. We're going to... Two movies for 2 weeks. That's my birthday, too, you know. My 35th birthday. Now, the gift from Marvel is, in fact... Infinity War.
So when does the movie come out now?
April 27th.
Okay.
Cap. 27th? Huh? April 27th is my birthday. Capital. What'd you think?
I thought it was the
30th. Oh, no. Capitalist Pig writes in about, to clarify, that the Paris Games Week is when the domestic abuse trailer for, well, that's a weird way to put it, but Detroit Become Human went live. Ignacio Rojas says PlayStation did tweet about the release date at 6:30 in the morning. I wasn't saying they weren't tweeting about it. I'm just saying that it didn't get the traction it was. Lord of No, that's not a, you're wrong. I understand. Gary's talking more about the demo than he was, but it's the same thing. Don't worry about it.
I think there was a ton of you're wrong fodder today.
Yeah, it's more like little things, like this one. Kebabs writes in and says, the zombie-like beings in Days Gone are indeed called freakers. Because I was like, freakers or tweakers? I don't know what's that going on.
I'm surprised someone hasn't written in to say, I don't know what Gary's talking about. There's a ton of World War II games.
No, that happened. I just...
Oh, he's there. Just ignoring them all.
Greg is correct. 2003, Medal of Honor Rising Sun tackled the Pacific Theater in World War II. Then a lot of people are yelling at you about The Last of Us. You got to go play Last of Us.
About the what?
Last of Us.
Yes, absolutely, of course. My wife wants to play it too. She calls it the Mushroom People game. When can we play the Mushroom People game?
Ugh, Capitalist Pig says, repack it queen hashtag. The hashtag is not a hashtag. It's a sharp. Think music.
Oh, okay.
Dumb.
Well, I mean, you know, as hip young internet millennials, when I see a hashtag, a number sign or a... pound sign, I guess you could also call it. I think hashtag.
And then final one is not a you're wrong, but C. Beretta says, not really a you're wrong, but potentially a missed news story. IGN is reporting that Sony is restructuring to focus more on first-party games. I saw that, and I was like, ooh, and then I read it, and I put it in the Roper Report, and then I'm like, what is this news even saying? It's basically like everybody reports to Jim Ryan over on that side for like marketing and ads. Sean Layden's going to put an increased focus on worldwide studios about first. Their focus on first party is evident by all these games put out. I thought it was a little BS marketing story that they put out a press release by to talk about shuffling some people in the org of the business. But I don't think it affects us too much until they actually like, this is what it did.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Renee is your host tomorrow. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to talk about for video games. Remember, we do the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames each and every day. If you aren't watching on Twitch, no big deal. Do you have Amazon Prime, Ted? I'm telling you right now. Use your Twitch Prime to give it to us. You have Amazon Prime. I know you do. Maybe grandma does. Maybe mom does. Go to their computers and subscribe to us with it. It's just $5 that sits there. Amazon laughs in your face if you don't give it to somebody. Give it to us. Also, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch the new PlayStation VR show there. Subscribe, like, share. Hit the bell so you get notified.
Oh, hey, I think I have a little piece of information on the Twitch thing.
Okay, lay it on me.
It does. I know you're irritated that I cut
it
at the end.
I thought it was a joke. I didn't realize it was serious information.
Twitch sent me an email the other day. I hope I'm reading this right and it's not, I didn't get this wrong, but I think I'm right in saying, you know how we talked about how you can use the free sub,
but it'll
expire and you have to remember to redo it.
Sure do.
They will now send you an alert telling you when it's time to renew.
What it is, maybe you could still be correct. What it is also is they launched a new extension that we put
That's what it was. It's
right there. Right now, for the people watching live on Twitch, it's next to your head.
It's like right over here?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah. Because that's where it was when I launched it today.
So if you add that extension, it will tell you when it's time to resub?
Well, not even if you
add it. Or it'll just do it.
Well, I guess, you have to opt in maybe. And I think if you're logged in and you have everything linked up, it just does it. It's a chance. We enabled the extension, so now it's up there for our people.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about rolling over my free sub.
Now you just need to pay attention if the thing tells you it's time to do it.
But they made it a bit easier.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Just make it automatic, Twitch. Is that hard?
Just roll it over.
Just roll it over for us. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we're on Spotify. I forgot that part. Podcast services. Bye. It's been our pleasure to serve you.